You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Welcome to episode 17. We have donuts today, though, Josh. Today we have apple fritters from People's Bakery. Have you had People's Bakery?
I have not. But they're in this brown craft bag, which makes it look like they're going to be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful.
They're huge.
They are huge. And what's fun about them is this is actually a little hole-in-the-wall gyro place run by a couple of Greeks. And somehow they started doing donuts in the morning, I think. They call themselves, the official name is People's Bakery. I'm guessing you can get donuts all day, but mostly they're selling falafels and gyros and a bunch of other stuff. But they do have a donut case, and it looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, when I said it was big, it's not quite Oklahoma big like when I was growing up, but it's big. And which ones, where are they located?
They're on East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, so they are kind of in a new... There's a place called Bub's Burgers there and a couple other things. There's been a few things in that little center.
Huh.
But it's across from the big center where the public library is and some other stuff.
Interesting. Wait, did you say East Wash or West Wash?
I said East Wash. Did I say West?
No, you said East.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out. I didn't know there was a library anywhere in East Wash. Huh.
Yeah, it's down by... It's not that far from the Red Letter Newsstand.
Ah, yes.
Which is a different kind of library, folks. Library
yes,
for
it
people
is.
Who, if you're under 18, you're pretty much not allowed in the door in that one. But the donut shop is open to everyone.
Woo woo!
And not too bad. So that's us today. I'm feeling pretty confident that they don't have a website. I'll put a link to their address on our show notes, but I'm pretty sure that they don't have an internet site. We'd like to thank Westfield Comics for sponsoring our studio space. Westfield Comics can be found online at www.westfieldcomics.com. They do online subscription service. They also have recent back issues, one of which is the issue we're going to talk about today, which is a one-shot from a few years ago, early February 2008, actually, of The Magdalena Daredevil. And right now, I don't know when it depends on when you're listening to this, but on the day we record, which right now we're in mid-May 2011, Westfield has the Magdalena Daredevil one-shot available for only $1.99, discounted price.
Sweet. That's like, 50% off.
It is. So 50% off for this issue, and I think that people should pick up this issue. You are reading a signed copy of Magdalena Daredevil's
Magdalena. Yes, I am. At C2E2 this past year, that's the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, for those of you not in the know, or those who know and just never knew what it stood for. I actually was looking for other Magdalena back issues, and I came across this, and I'm like, well, I know Phil's here. It was like a dollar. I'm like, well, for a dollar, how can you go wrong? So I just asked Phil if he'd sign it so we could give it away as a prize sometime. Do we have a contest this month yet?
This month's contest is follow us on Twitter and receive a Top Cow prize package, which will include a signed issue, and it will include a couple other giveaways, and it will include some donuts in one form or another.
Sweet. So maybe we'll give this away next month.
That sounds really good. This issue is both written and drawn by Phil Hester, with the inker, however, is Andy Parks.
Yeah.
Or Ande, I'm not sure.
I think it's Andy. I'm pretty sure it's Andy. They go back pretty far.
The colorist is Blonde. And the letterer, Troy Pateri.
Heck yeah.
So just a quick run-up, and this basically just talks about basically the first setup half of the book. But in Daredevil Magdalena, and I'm reading this off of Comic Book Resources site, they interviewed Phil about this book. And the basic premise to start the book is that Patience, the Magdalena, finds herself hunting down a rogue demon that had, until recently, been a prisoner of a cabal of apostolate monks. So the demon endured centuries-long torture at the hands of the monks, And now it is free to seek revenge on the monk's descendants now that it's escaped. And one of the fun little twists that Phil puts in there is that there are many monks and priests who have been involved, but monks and priests had families on the side through medieval times anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So they have got to hunt that down, and what they're finding, though, is that this demon is taking and behind the disappearance of several children across the world. And that's where that brings us to Hell's Kitchen, where we hook up with Daredevil, who is searching for a missing child.
Wait. Who's this Daredevil guy?
Daredevil happens to be Matt Murdock, a Marvel Comics character.
Huh. I notice in the inside front cover, they actually give like a short little description of stuff. I think I'm going to read that real quick.
Great.
Though attorney Matt Murdock is blind, his other senses function with superhuman sharpness. His radar sense guides him over every obstacle. With amazing fighting skills, he stalks the streets at night in relentless pursuit of justice as Daredevil, the man without fear. That told me a lot more who Daredevil was than that one thing they called a movie that came out a few years ago.
Oh, we had to bring up the movie?
Well, in all fairness, the director's cut, a lot better.
I was going to bring up what is, I think, an obvious influence to this book. If you don't know Daredevil, I recommend you go and pick the late 70s, early 80s run of Frank Miller on Daredevil, who I still think created the quintessential Daredevil run. And I see that Frank Miller influence really throughout this book in both the art style that Phil chooses for his angles and panel layouts, and also for his characterization of Matt Murdock.
Yeah, it's... I noticed that, too. What I really love, it's snowing in this book. So few comics take place where there's... You know, I mean, weather isn't too big a deal, and, you know, sometimes, oh, rain. But how often do we get snow in a story? And especially when there's black, white, and red going on, it's just, love it.
That is a great point, and I'd imagine it's kind of difficult to render. I don't know that it's, do you think it's done through the coloring process, or do you think that Phil drew these snowflakes, or what's your thought?
That's a toughie. In some places, it actually does look like it's line work in the art. In other places, it doesn't. So my guess would be it's a combination. But I would also guess it's possible that the snowflakes themselves, maybe Phil did like a, just like a overlay type. Mm-hmm. That then... Blonde used as kind of a filter on some of the levels to some of the panels and pages to add a bit more texture to them. But
it opens the second and third pages are there's a spread across the two pages at the top of the page and then five panels below, and more than I think any other part of the book, that's where the Frank Miller Daredevil really comes out. You could almost slot it into that run and see that. So it's kind of a fun nod to the past, although the whole book is definitely Phil Hester's style. You know, Phil has the ability to, I think, blend into runs and also blend into styles. But I like his storytelling, so it's pretty clear to me when he's drawn a book.
Yeah. I got a lot of that Frank Miller feeling from the writing, too, in the first, four pages.
With maybe not as much of the swearing, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. That's okay, though. Well, I was actually thinking of that old Frank Miller Daredevil stuff, not quite the new Sin City Frank Miller stuff.
Not the Unleashed. One of the points that Phil Hester made in his interview on Comic Book Resources is that Matt has nun mother issues, so the team-up of Daredevil with the Magdalena is a good one. And it also, I think, works great as a twist on the other side, where when Magdalena first encounters Daredevil, as far as she knows, he's an agent of the devil anyway. So sworn enemy, you know, how can you have somebody who is an agent for the church encounter somebody who's calling himself Daredevil and encased in red with little horns on his head? I think that, you know, it's an easy assumption. So the first half of the book is really them coming to terms that they're not enemies and they have a common mission.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants to see people fight. May as well give them a good reason. Mistaken identity. Not always done well, but in the instance here where they're actually hunting down a demon thingy, it's works pretty well. And this panel's awesome, too. Just the black, the white, the snow, and the little touches of color.
Yeah, this is... The story's good. The artwork is good. It's cool. And it's one of those books that's better every time you reread it. So it's not a quick read. It's just your standard size pamphlet comic book, but it gets better with age, and the more carefully you can read it, the better. They do encounter the demon. He has the children locked up in a very creative way, and basically the quick premise is that the demon will own the souls of these children as soon as the clock strikes midnight. So since it's only a few minutes to midnight at the time that they're encountering what's going on, it's a pretty tense, exciting ending. That couple things we'll say. I don't believe it's a spoiler to say that the book, you know, the good guys win in the end, because frankly, it's a one-shot Daredevil Magdalena. So yeah. It would be silly for me to say that the good guys don't win. I won't necessarily go about how it happens. It is a pretty tense ending. And I will say at some point, Magdalena finds that she has to trust Matt Murdock, and she hands him the Spear of Destiny to wield towards the ending, which is pretty unique to see an artifact handed over like that.
Yeah, and I really liked seeing her bless the Billy Club to turn it into a holy weapon. That was pretty cool.
And made it effective, and it shows some good back and forth as Daredevil's tracking down the demon, and Magdalena is seeking to free these souls of the children, that as much as Matt Murdock's wielding the Spear of Destiny, it is her prayer and foundation and faith that helps him target in. So pretty complex story, pretty fun story. And you've got some, if you're not into religious themed stories, this still works as a good superhero comic adventure. If you do like those layers of faith and mysticism, then you'll have some of that to satisfy you as well. Another panel.
Yeah, I'm really reacting. It's just all the I see panels that look like, you know, something Miller would have drawn. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming he didn't, because I can't imagine Phil would be like, oh, I'm going to swipe this panel. He probably was just going for what's the kind of thing Frank would have drawn, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I don't even know how long ago that was anymore. A long time ago.
Yeah, it's really reminiscent. It's really a paying homage, I'm sure.
Yeah.
There's nothing swipey about this book.
And it
whatsoever.
Works. That's the important
it
thing.
Works it really works really well. So seek it out. Check out the back issue lots at conventions.
I see lots of them. Sadly, I shouldn't. People should buy these. They're a dollar.
This is a fun one to
you don't buy it, I'm going to buy it, because I might just hoard them all and get Phil to sign a bunch of them. And
hey, that could be like our monthly prize, our 2011 prize. Every prize also comes with a copy of Magdalena Daredevil. But don't make that the reason why you don't buy it, because it is a good one. If you can find it, they are out there. As I mentioned earlier, you can get it online at Westfield Comics. I'm sure that you can find them occasionally popping up on eBay or in back issue bins at local conventions. Or you can also drop us a line at dtcpodcast@gmail.com, and we can find ways that we could hook you up with a copy. It's just worth sharing. So we like to share good books that we care about. Want to acknowledge a couple of things. We had a good time at Free Comic Day.
Oh, yeah.
We set up a table here at Josh's store, Westfield Comics, on the east side of Madison, just off of Willie Street. And Josh had some great artists coming through, and he had some pretty good steady activity all through the day. Not just getting free books, but checking out some some good stuff that's always on hand here at the store. Also, you had about four bins of 99-cent books. I have to go back on something. You did have Echoes 2, 3, and 4. I picked up Echoes 2, 3, and 4. I swore I wasn't going to read that. I still haven't, but it's in my pile. I'm going to check it out. There's just been too much critical acclaim.
Just to say something more Free Comic Book Day based, we had people come into the store that are a family, lived relatively close in the neighborhood here, that hadn't heard about us, which partially, obviously, you know, our fault, not advertising well enough, but advertising's goofy these days, you know. It's not, oh, take out some print ads, people are going to find out about you. But they heard about Free Comic Book Day on CNN, and they used the Free Comic Book Day locator, and they found us. And any retailer that says, oh, you know, the Free Comic Book Day isn't well thought out, this and that, and being all negative about it, the amount of money I spent on everything for Free Comic Book Day was a drop in the bucket compared to what I would have spent on an ad on CNN that people probably wouldn't have found this store anyways. So, you know, I mean, a few hundred dollars to buy some comic books to give out for free. You know, bring in a couple guests.
Yeah, well, we got some sketch cards from them as well.
But, you know, I mean, there's local people, find out. So if you're a retailer and you're being a goon about Free Comic Book Day, knock it off.
But it was a successful event. One of the things we did is we took the House of Cards write-ups from Brian Rountree, and we had some of your customers read them for us as through the morning as they came in. We did have free donuts for folks who stopped by, and then we had readings done by many people. There was one customer in particular had something to promote, and we'll hear her again, but that's Jennifer, and she can be found. Her blog is at fantasticfangirls.org. So check out that blog site, and she read Aphrodite 4 for us. So we're going to listen to her read off a bit, and what we want to do is kind of walk through these artifacts players by reading the write-ups from House of Cards. So Josh and I talked about it, and you were thinking that we would play one an episode. So I think we'll go through the summer and kind of talk about the characters. So right now we're going to play Aphrodite 4.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Margaret Smith of FantasticFangirls.org. For an artificial intelligence to transcend humanity, it must first absolutely despise human nature. There is nothing colder than the emerald eyes of Aphrodite 4. She desires no passion and feels no fear. She won't close her eyes and bite her upper lip unless she has been programmed to do so. Accessorizing in sidearms and hand grenades, Aphrodite was the perfection of a unique android by her designers. Cut off from her creators, she has received further modifications and upgrades to her build and programming from a mysterious benefactor to make her an even more effective killing machine. A machine now armed with the most dangerous weapon of all, purpose.
So thank you, Jennifer. And I first saw Aphrodite 4 in the Witchblade, through the Witchblade trades. So it's been fun to see her be such a pivotal character at the outset of Artifacts. And as you may recall from Artifacts, Artifact Zero is really centered around briefing Aphrodite 4 of what the 13 artifacts, or at least what the known 13 of the 13 artifacts were, and pushing through. But she is a cyborg type, robot type, fighting machine who has some regenerative powers or who can come in. She's been a big player in Artifacts. She's also been a player in the Witchblade off and on. She and Sarah have fought before. And it's been a strong character. I know one of your favorite characters in the new incarnation, she had a little, you know, in Artifacts 1, had a schoolgirl outfit selling balloons. That's been...
Wow. Yeah, I mean, what can you say about a schoolgirl outfit?
And I,
as long as she's 21.
Yeah, they were, and I saw, I just remember it so well because I was at the New York Comic Con last year, and the Top Cow had hired some people to dress up as Aphrodite 4, and that was exciting.
I don't think they hired them. I think that was just cosplayers, show up, you'll get cool stuff. I really wish I could have seen that, though.
Yeah,
but it was awesome.
There are, I think the Top Cow website has some photos of them up.
It's that Top Cow website I need to pay more attention to.
It is, www.topcow.com. Fairly active forums, and if you want to really talk about what's behind the books that are coming out, that's really what the Top Cow forums are for. A lot of other comic forums are good for the various chat and threads and some other things, but the Top Cow has been pretty true to the books that are coming out and the stories, so I've learned a lot from following the Top Cow forums.
I just have to figure out how to get signed up, because I don't know if I'm having browser issues or Adblock Plus issues or what, but
So once again, follow us on Twitter at DTC Podcast and get in on the contest for the month. Also, we have a Facebook page. Come over and find us on Facebook. Don't forget that Donuts is spelled with an O-U-G-H, so we're D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T-S and Top Cow. Search for us on Facebook. Hit like us and join the community. We've got a lot of nice back and forth going on that.
I was also going to say, what else do we have? Oh, rate us on iTunes if you use iTunes. That'd be awesome. Because I'm assuming stuff like that's a good thing, especially if you like us.
I would think so. And as of this moment, we have 2 reviews. We appreciate them. And thanks for the show of support and the good feedback.
If you have questions about anything, send them in too.
Absolutely. DTC Podcast. It was cool getting those questions from Nick last week. Yeah. And we've got another listener is going to be joining us in a few weeks, Wade. And he said he's got a few questions himself, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, he can try and answer or ask some questions. We'll see how that goes.
Well, we look forward to seeing him. And we look forward to having you join us again for the next show. Until then, have a great week.
Good journey.
Shoe. You watch the mama got a home.